Hello, 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 and welcome to My Empty Hands, a podcast about the martial arts through the lens of a Kenpoist, but we love all martial arts around here, and we'll chat about that. As always, I am your host, Reggie Darden, and I am thrilled and excited to once again have Shihan Duval Hamilton on, and we're going to chat, get a little update with him. I guess it's been a little over a year since I had had him on, and I believe you were my first non-Kenpoist on the show, so you have that,
okay, that
distinguished title. So we will get an update with what's been going on with you over the year here, and wanted to have you on because not that long ago you were on a live stream and you were talking about the 100-man kumite, and
yes,
I was really interested in learning more about that, and I think the listeners also would also be interested in learning about that. So, let's get you on to talk about that and educate us on that. And then, whatever other things that we happen to get onto, that's what we'll do. But, so kind of going on my usual spiel, I train in multiple martial arts at this point. Too many, but I'm like the guy at the buffet, the fat man at the buffet. I can't just have one dish. I gotta get into everything. So
gotta taste everything, right?
Oh yeah. So so just for the people that may not know, I train in American Kenpo, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Muay Thai, Hapkido, and capoeira. I also have some experience in boxing and taekwondo, and I always feel like I'm missing one, but I think that's good enough for now. So and then of course my dog has to chime in on every single episode, but that's okay. We'll take care of that in post. So that's my story. So we will get to our distinguished guest here, and so a lot's been going on. I've been kind of keeping an eye on what you've been doing over the year, and been seeing some quite a bit of growth and exciting things happen. So let's go ahead and let us know what's been going on with you and the Dallas Kyokushin community over the past year, and we'll go from there.
So again, my name is Duval. I am the head instructor of Dallas Kyokushin Karate here in the Farmers Branch area, and also we train two nights a week in Colleyville. And we've been quite busy with a few things. It's been a good productive year. You know, we had some wins, we had some losses, but we still moving forward, which is I'm very happy about. And you know, we always can do more. There's always room for improvement, but we're at a steady pace. We're gaining, you know, quite a few students within the last couple of months. So it's Kyokushin in Dallas is starting to take get some traction now, you know, the way that I want it and intend it to be for the future. But we've been doing a couple of things. We've actually 2 weeks ago, we had about three weeks ago, we had an opportunity to travel to Austin to kind of showcase full contact karate on a fight promotion in Austin, and it was pretty good. I was very successful. Basically our one fight got the fight of the night. Basically we had a knockout, and so we were very, very excited about that. So we're trying to do a little bit more with that promotion group in Austin. And then we had a couple of events over the past year. My instructor came out to Dallas. This was his third time in Dallas. And this time we had a 50 man come in. One of our students who had a lot of experience in fighting, in kickboxing, boxing, Muay Thai, some Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as well. And then also approximately 20 to 25 years ago, he trained in Kyokushin back home in Israel. And so he came to us and started training with us. And we were talking about the 100-man kumite. And then I was talking about this idea of students doing a 50-man. And he stepped up and he said, listen, Shion, I want to do the 50-man. I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. Now, mind you, this guy, he's pretty, you know, he's pretty fit. You know, he trains every day. And the thing that really got me is that he's like in his mid-50s. And so he decided, he said, hey, Shion, I want to do this 50-man. So he started training. I think it took him about 7 or 8 months to prepare for it. And it was a great event. It was a great event. We had quite a few people to come out to see the event. We had our colleague from Austin. He just opened a Kyokushin class dojo in Austin. He came up with his people, and the uniqueness about this 50 man was that we kind of mixed it up because we didn't have enough Kyokushin practitioners. So what we did was we had Kyokushin, we had kickboxers, and then his final fight, fight number 50, he did a boxing match, a 2-minute round boxing match. So it was a good mix. So out of that, I decided, hey, why don't we do this event every year and open it up to anyone who's interested in doing it? You know, you don't have to be Kyokushin, you know, you just have to follow the Kyokushin rule set. But we decided for 2026, we want to open it up for anybody who wants to make the attempt to do the 50 man. And if they are brave enough to do the 100 man, if they wanted to. So that's an event that we're going to do every year. As a matter of fact, we're going to be scheduling the next one in 2026 in May. And we had 2 or 3 people that wanted to do it, but then they kind of fell off. So right now we're looking for candidates who would be interested in participating in a 50 man in the month of May of 2026. Nice. So so basically again, you know, so we've been, you know, training a lot, we've been building, and we are we're just going to continue to build as being one of, or maybe the only Kyokushin dojo in the DFW area. We want to kind of set the standard for Kyokushin in the Southwest. And and so our future looks bright. We continue to train hard. We continue to push hard. We're growing. We got new students. We're getting more younger students to come through the door, and they're excited about Kyokushin. You see, so, but that's where we stand right now. We're still moving forward. We hope also in 2026 to do a small tournament. We made an attempt in 2023, but we did not succeed. But we in 2026, we're pretty sure that we can pull one off in Dallas. So that's where we stand right now. We're still training hard, you know.
Very nice. Yeah, I love the growth. I love seeing I guess we could say a hardcore real. Real karate now, not to disparage or talk bad about any other, but
no, never that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was going to say I never. It is not my to talk about any other style, because I think every style have purpose. right? Every style has some effectiveness to it, right? So it all depends what you want. You know, there are some people who might not like chicken, right? Some people might not like beef, right? Some people, I mean, it just is whatever you like, whatever your fight makeup is, right? It's like, you know, I like to grapple. I like to wrestle. I like hands, you know, it, whatever it is. I think every martial art, there's some benefit to it. You understand? And then everybody is not training for the same reasons too, right? There are some people who are training for self-defense, right? We say most people would be training for self-defense, but there are some people who are training for fitness. There are some people who are training to make them a better person. So everybody's not there for the same reason. And all, like I said, all styles serve some purpose to someone, right? So like to point at one style and say mine is better than yours, yours is better than mine, I think it's kind of ridiculous. I think it's really silly. I mean, because like I tell my students all the time, right? Like most of us will probably not get into any hand-to-hand combat situations for the rest of our lives, you know. It's just that we don't, most of us are not going to put ourselves in those situations, you know. So, but at the end of the day, like, you know, we're preparing for that, right? That's what we're preparing for people who are training for self-defense. But anyway, for me, at my age, right, Kyokushin is working on myself, right? And I was just talking to my students today how when you're training in Kyokushin, the first line in the dojo kun or the dojo motto is that we train our hearts and bodies for a firm and shaken spirit. See, we're training our hearts, bodies, spirit. I mean, and that's enough for us, for one person to manage, right? Is to bring yourself under subjection, right? So, yeah, so all of it has purpose. All of it, everybody plays their part in this. You know, and so when I hear people, they train and stand up, ground, they're just trying to complete, you know, like a circle, right? Trying to close the circle. So I respect it. I respect it.
Yeah, very well. Very well said. What I was kind of referring to is kind of the general softening of those that train in the martial arts these days. And
yeah,
you know, just like you said, there are all kinds of different reasons that people train. Some people want the self-defense side of it. Some people want the competition side of it. Some people want, you know, just to get out of whatever environment that they are. And so, of course, not every school is that way, and not every school needs to be the hardcore, you know, blood and guts, beat 'em up every night. And everybody has their own journey. But I think in the kind of overall general side, at least in a lot of the martial arts that I've seen, that we're training in this combat art, but yet there's not this desire to get in and have some combat. I mean, with
right
with my Kenpo school, a lot of times, actually kind of most of the time, when it's time for sparring class, sparring night, all of a sudden everybody has something to do, something else to do, and
right, exactly.
And it's like
that's funny because that's the flip side for us on Kyokushin. Fight night, everybody shows up. When we're doing fundamentals, the average student numbers, they show up. But I mean, all of it plays an important part, right? So I mean, everybody wants to bang 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 until it's time to bang bang bang. So but I get it because, you know, I've been in Kyokushin over 35 years and I understand it. Some of the things that I used to do, like I used to just show up for the fight classes and the fundamentals. And then I got to a period of time where I didn't want to show up for the fight classes because there were guys that were like just headhunters, and I was like, nah, they ain't getting me today. I'll go to the Kihonwaza and the kata class and get my workout there. But you know, it's whatever you want, whatever you need out of it, you know, whatever you need out of it. So
very nice, very nice.
But to tag on back to the 50 man and the 100 man committee, it is interesting because it is not an easy thing. Now, it's interesting when we talk about the 50 man, right? Because in Kyokushin, from the time that you are a beginner until the time you reach the Dan ranks, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and on up, you're actually preparing for the 50 man. Because from the beginner Q ranking white belt to Shodan first degree black belt, the part of your testing or the fight portion of the testing, you have to complete at minimum 15, maybe 20, 1 to 2 minute rounds of fighting.
Oh my.
Then when you go for second, Nidan, you have to complete at minimum 20 to 25 rounds of fighting. And then when you go to Sandan, third degree, you have to have minimum 30 to 35 rounds of fighting. So as you progress in the belt ranks, you're supposed to have that many of fights. So, but sometimes when you get to the fifth and sixth, the expectation is 50 and 60. Now, it varies because now it's an age thing, right? So you might have a guy who's going for fifth. He might be 60 years old. He has the option of going to the 50-man fights. But so again, in Kyokushin, mentally, physically, as you continue to train, you are actually preparing for the 50-man. Now, the 100 man is a totally different game. It's a totally different mindset. So you're doubling now your fighters, right? And so with the 100 man, I've never done a 100 man. So I'm only speaking by the history of Kyokushin, right? I think the best example on visuals of the 100 man is if you go to YouTube and look up Jude Reed, J-U-D-D. His last name is J-U-D-D-R-E-I-D, Jude Reed. He put out a documentary about his preparation for the 100-man Kumite. And that was, I believe that was maybe 15 years ago, something like that. He put this film out. And great film. Great film. And it gives you, it took him a 1 year to prepare for the 100 man. And it goes from the time that he was preparing for it until the time that he actually took, did the 100 man. So, I mean, people look at it like, well, why would somebody want to fight 100 guys back to back to back to back? I mean, but in Kyokushin, that's like the ultimate test of the physical and the mental perseverance. And so Oyama in the Kyokushin world was the first to do it. And it is said that he did 300 men kumite over a course of 3 days. All right. And this is the Kyokushin story. You know, every martial arts has their stories, oh, right? Yeah. You know, like he fought the bulls, and
yeah, so, but one thing I've been meaning to ask you about the bull thing, because I've always had interest in Masayama and coming up. I mean, going back way when I started Kenpo and kind of even before that, and yeah, I heard the bull story, and I was like, okay, like really. I mean, sounds great, but it's
yes, not too believable, right? Well, there is some proof of it. I'm not going to say the proof is 100, but there is some proof of it because there's an old black and white video of him actually tussling with a bull. So back then, as you're watching the video, it's kind of, it looks like somebody tried to edit the video, because he was, he's actually has his hands on the horns of the bull, wrestling the bull. And then there's a portion of the film where it shows his hand going up like he's getting ready to do a knife hand strike. He does a knife hand strike, and then the film cuts, and it shows like a horn broken on the ground. So him actually fighting a bull, yes, that was there. Him actually defeating a bull, as they say, with one punch and hacking off the horn with a shuto or a knife hand strike. I didn't see that on the video, but I did see him on video fighting the bull. All right. Gotcha. So they said he did that at least three or four times during his day. And then he wanted to step up to a tiger. That's the story. He wanted to step up to a tiger, but, you know, animal activists came in and like, well, this isn't inhumane. You'll never beat this tiger, blah, 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 whatever the case may be. But did he fight a bull? Yes. Did he fight three bulls? Yes. So I interviewed several years ago a gentleman, a very old school Kyokushin guy from Europe. And interesting enough, he told me that the fighting of the bulls were true, but then he believed that the bulls were like young, you know, like young bulls. Yeah, you know, they weren't like adult bulls, you know. So with that being said, I mean, but the whole idea of you trying to tussle with a bull that's probably five times, six times, seven times stronger than yourself, than a human being, I mean, that's a lot of nerve, right? A lot of courage.
Gotcha. No, I do good to wrestle against my dog, let alone let alone a bull of any age is outside of my skill set. So
right. Nice. But to go back to the 100 man Kumite, it's nothing. It was a thing that was done not to show off how strong a person was. It really was a test of that individual, again, with the physical and the mental. So Oyama was said to be the first to do it by doing 300, 100, 100, 100 over a course of 3 days. And then he initially handpicked some of his students to perform the same 100 man, not the 300, but the 100 man. And so with that being said, the 100 man basically is you fight 100 individual black belts. And the rounds were either 1 to 2 minute rounds. You had to win 50% of your fights out of the 100. You have to win 50. And if you had gotten knocked down, you had to get up in a 5 second time frame. So that's the rule set. All right. So again, 100 black belts back to back to back to back to back, 1 to 2 minute rounds. And so that's the 100 man Kumite. And so if you think about in terms of the early days of Kyokushin and at the Oyama Dojo, you know, those guys were very dedicated, very strong, very committed. Their whole entire life was training martial arts. So they weren't like weekend warriors like most of us are, right? Come and train 2-3 times a week. They were training every day, 3 times a day, you see? So that was the competition for someone who was going up for in a 100 man Kumite. So and then most of them at that time when Oyama was alive, you had to do it in front of Oyama. You had to do it in front of him. So but that was that's the 100 man Kumite. Now people are still doing it today. Not a lot. I think the last person that performed the 100 man was maybe 6 years ago, 7 years ago, something like that. When we talk in terms of in the U.S., I don't know of an American that actually did a 100 man committee in front of Oyama, but the first non-Japanese to do the 100 man was a gentleman by the name of Steve Arneal. And he is known for doing the 100 man, first non-Japanese to do it. And, you know, when you do the 100 man, that kind of puts your name in the archives. You know, you're solidified in Kyokushin history, and basically everybody knows your name, you know? So, it's an amazing event. Like I said, the best modern day film that you can watch is the 100 Man of Jude Reed. And it's an amazing how this guy, and just to note too, Jude Reed was a live-in student with Oyama. They had a program in Japan where you train literally 3 to 4 days, 3 to 4 times a day. And it's a 4 to 5 year period. They used to call them the Young Lions. And so he was part of that last class of a direct Oyama student before Oyama passed away. And so he did the 100 man. Like I said, it's the most modern day documentary. And you probably can catch it on YouTube or maybe Prime and watch the whole entire process. And it's amazing. It's amazing. It just shows the strength of a man, you know, what we can do as human beings if we put our mind to something, you know? So, but yes, that's the 100 man. And so the half of the version of the 100 man is the 50 man. That's it's a little bit simple enough for most, some people can do. And, and we were honored to have, one of our students do it here in Dallas, and my instructor was there to witness it. And he had said to me, he said, somebody in the U.S. hadn't done a 50 man in years. And for someone like my student to do it, and he's like in his mid 50s, it was an amazing feat. So again, those who are interested and want to do 50 man next May, 2026, yeah, just reach out to me and we can set it up. We can make a big event out of it, and you know, and you could put that on your martial arts resume.
I've been thinking about it, but I'll have to clear it with the wife. I don't know if I could be ready for May, but it's definitely since I heard you talk about it before. It has not been something that it's immediately a no-fly zone. Let's just say that. But yeah, no, I'm not ready to to go out there and do that just yet. But No, it's exciting. It's quite a feat. I mean, in the arts that I train, when you spar for a test or something like that, it's one or two, you know, sometimes three guys, and it's like that's a lot. And then, yeah, right. So to do 50 or 100 is pretty wild to me. So so I'm clear on a couple of things. So it's they're 2 minute rounds.
Yeah, so it varies. It varies between a 1 and 2 minute round. You could do a 1, 1.5, 2 minute round. Okay. Really, nowadays, you can probably cater it the way you wish. I mean, most of the time, I believe that a lot of the 50 mans and the 100 mans were about 2 minute rounds, you know?
Do you get a break in between?
Yeah, what I was going to say, there is a small break. So what happened is there's not like an intermission. For somebody who's doing this, it's almost like running in a marathon, right? You want to run and get your pace and stay at that pace and keep going until the very end. I mean, once you take that break, you kind of break your concentration, right? And it's almost like you have to try to restart again. So in this past May, there was a small break, enough to get a couple of sips of water. And I know that my student injured his hand during the process. I think he jammed his hand or he fractured his finger or something like that. And he continued. And see, and again, that's the perfect example of the test, right? Because he had a fractured hand, and I'm pretty sure that the hand was swelling and it was hurting and it was aching. And, you know, and I think it was at maybe fight number 20 or 25 or something where he injured his hand. He still have 25 more fights to go. And so what I was going to say was that, remember, these fights are full contact fights. They're not like, you know, and not to knock anybody, it's not like points barring anything. It's just simply full contact fight, continuous fighting. So, yeah. Interesting. Not easy.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Now, as far as you, so you mentioned that they have to kind of win each round. So how does the scoring or ranking, or how is it determined that you've won that round? And if you don't win that round, is it like over? You have to redo it? Like how does that work?
No, so basically it's almost like going to a competition. You go, you fight the 2-minute fight. If there's not a knockout, generally it's, were you the more aggressive fighter? Were you the most active fighter? Which kind of determines the win. In this particular case, when you're doing 100 man, if you don't get knocked out, then they would deem you as the winner, right? But if you kind of look like you're getting smacked around, then they might deem you as not, you know, that particular fight as a loss. So again, you have to win 50% of your 100 fights. And it's the same as if you were doing 50 man, you have to win 50% of the 50, of course. So, but again, I stress it's all full contact fights, right? So now the person that you're competing against, literally, he is trying to knock you out, right? So it's not soft fights at all. It's all hard fights from start to finish. Sometimes I've heard, and not in 50-man or 100-man, but I've in testing, especially when someone is going up for black belt, what they try to do is they try to put all of the soft and mediocre fighters ahead, trying to tire you out, and then all the hard charges at the end, because they're gunning for your head. So that's generally what they do as well. So, but again, this is the test, not only this is the test of your mental, this is the test of your body, the physical, you know. So it's quite challenging.
That's interesting. In my mind, I thought it was more about just surviving, but it didn't really dawn on me that no, you're going for the knockout. So just ups the ante there, instead of just, right. Oh well, I can, you know, kind of stay on my feet against 50 guys or 100 guys, whatever the
right. Well, I mean, yes, as the person who is doing the 50. You're just trying to survive. You're pacing yourself. You know, you're not trying to blow out in the first 10, 15, or 20. You're actually trying to pace yourself. But in pacing yourself, you have to defend yourself, right? Because the other guy, he's probably going to fight you one time, maybe a second time. So he's going to try to give all, his all, you know? And especially, just imagine if you are doing a 100 man, or you're participating in the 100 man, and Oyama's there watching. So you want to impress Oyama. You know, you want to be the guy that knocks out the guy who's taking the 100 man test, right? So it's interesting. It's very interesting, and it's a serious thing, you know. It's a serious thing. So like I said, anybody who finishes the 100 man kumite, your name is now in lights in the Kyokushin Hall of Fame. So
gotcha. Yeah, and we won't get into it, but I know that we had talked previously about a certain someone, and I was inquiring as to whether or not I was like, I think if you competed in the 100 man, it would be out, that information would be out there, and this particular individual was
right.
No one had ever heard of him, so I was like, so with the so if you're fighting and you get knocked out or whatever, do you have, is it immediately like, okay, we're done, or do you kind of get an option to, okay, you got knocked out, but we can keep going? Or
so if you're the one that's doing the 50 man, I mean, excuse me, the 100 man, and you get knocked down or out, you have a 5-second recovery. They give you about 5 seconds to recover. The center referee will start counting to give you 5 seconds to recover. If you are the one that is participating in the 100 man, meaning you're an opponent, if you get knocked out or down, that ends the match. That would be ippon or knockout. So that ends the match right away. So you go in, you fight, you knock somebody out, that fight is over. Next fight.
So you still you still do have to fight all the rest of the people, regardless of the outcome of a particular round. Okay.
Absolutely. So you might have maybe during the course of a 100 man, you might have maybe 10 knockouts, right? But you still have to finish the course. Okay. So that's the thing. You finish the course. Now, during the course of my student who did the 50 man, he was asked 2 or 3 times, do you want to continue? The first time was, I think he got his hand injured. Do you want to continue? He said yes. I think as we got closer to 30 plus fights, we check in with him. You okay? Do you want to continue? Yes. And then somewhere around the 40, 45 fight range, numbers of fights, we ask again, hey, do you want to continue? And yes. And then he finished it out. So.
Amazing stuff. Okay. So yeah, that is wild. Just thinking about fighting that many people is mind blowing to me. So that's good on your student to get in there and do that, especially being of a certain age.
Yes.
I do good to get off the couch. So
right, exactly.
So I tell my wife that, you know, I'm now at the age where I can't get off of any piece of furniture without going, ugh. So that's now a requirement in my life.
That's
so.
that's the old man's ki.
Very much so. Very much really? So. Awesome. All right. Well, I'm blown away by it, and I'm thankful for you to come in and share the info on that. We'll definitely have to inquire some more about this. I'm finding myself more intrigued by it than scared of it. So I'm definitely going to have to pick your brain on more on that. But
yes, sir.
But I think that's a good starting point to get myself and the listeners to interested in that, and I'm definitely gonna look up that video and check that out. So now I guess we will move into our shelfless, selfless, shameless self promotion. still a little loopy tonight, but shameless self-promotion. So you can plug anything that you'd like, or if there's anything else that you wanted to get out there before we wrap up.
Yes.
You now have the floor.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, thank you. So to reach us, you could go to our website at texaskillcushion.com. And you get a little bit of history of myself, a little bit of history of the school. And then, of course, YouTube. We're basically on every social media platform. One interesting thing that that's kind of dear to me is that I kind of started an alliance called the Texas Kilkishin Remi, and the whole purpose of this alliance is not to create another Kilkishin organization. It's simply because there's so many of them out there, but I wanted to create an alliance for Kilkishin practitioners, those who's training in Kilkishin, and for those who have an interest in Kilkishin, but they're training in other styles. And so here's an opportunity for them to connect to us and participate in any events that we have, in any future events that we have, any trainings that we have. And then also too, for students of the martial arts who are of, let's say, a traditional Japanese background, such as Shotokan, Goju-Ryu, Shinto-Ryu, who have, again, an interest in Kyokushin, they would have an opportunity to rank in Kyokushin karate. Basically on their own, because a lot of these guys, most of us share is the same fundamentals and then the same kata. And so you get a student who might be a Shotokan practitioner that might live in, let's say, San Antonio, and he can't train with us. Well, he's already, let's say, a brown belt in Shotokan. He knows more than half the kata and fundamentals that we share, he can literally come to us and test to our testing standards and get ranked in Kyokushin karate, official rank in Kyokushin karate. So again, I created that organization called Texas Kyokushin Remi, and I could send that information out. That's also on our website. If you want to join as a student, or you could join as a dojo and be an affiliate with us. Part of the plan too for 2026 and beyond is to create a Texas fight team, because now there are a lot of full contact tournaments in the U.S. and it would be nice that we could form a Texas fight team and go to some of these tournaments and kind of like, you know, to rack up some championships, you know, for Texas. So again, that's a vision of I have of mine, and I just kicked it off last month, you know. So if you want to join, if anyone wants to join as a student, or they can join as a dojo member, student member and a dojo member, you can go on the website. There's like a yearly fee, and then you will be connected to us. And like I said, at any given time, if you feel that you're ready to take a Q ranking or even a black belt ranking, you would connect with us and we'll help you get there. And like I said, this is primarily really for those who are in the traditional Japanese karate community, because like I said, we all share common katas, common strikes, common punches, you know, terminologies and everything. But it's really open to anybody who wants to get some side training or of Kyokushin karate. So that's Texas Kyokushin Remi.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. I will make sure that those links get in the show notes there, and let everyone get to check that out and join in the fun on that. And I thank you so much for being on once again and sharing about this super super fun stuff that super fun and scary scary terrifying situation, but I like it. I'm excited about it. I'm gonna definitely dig in some more on this, and definitely I need to come visit again and get some
yes, please
punches
come.
In. It's been a little bit since I got punched real good, so punched and kicked real good. So I need to come in and get some more lumps in. So,
but thank you so much for inviting us to your podcast again. I see that you've grown a lot. I mean, you've interviewed some of my friends from New York, Kyokushin friends from New York, and I'm like, man, this guy's growing so much. Man, I just can't wait until you reach your 100th episode officially.
Yeah, no, we're coming up on that, and I've been excited to just be able to talk to everybody and get their stories, whether they be the 10th degree or the trial class person. I want to talk to everyone. I want to get all the stories, and my dozens of listeners seem to enjoy them. So I'll keep doing it as long as people keep saying yes. So I just appreciate all the work that you've been doing, and we'll keep my eye on what's going on, We'll definitely talk some more about these the 50 man and the 100 man, and hopefully there's not any more levels of higher than that, because I don't think I could mentally handle anyone fighting that many people. But once again, I'm just so thankful for you, and thanks for being on, and can't wait to get this out for everyone else to hear.
Yes, thank you again. Appreciate you.
Thank you for listening to My Empty Hands. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend. If you didn't enjoy it, please share it with an enemy. If you'd like to be a guest, or if you would like to recommend a guest for the show, please email me at podcast@talkingkenpo.com. Thank you.